Coming up, the Rangers lost in 6 games. Their season is over. I've given it some time to marinate, and I talked about it a little bit of a shorter episode, but I did explain kind of my feelings about this Rangers team. And also, I did make a point about the NBA Finals and what we saw in Game 5 last night between the Celtics and the Warriors. All that and more coming up next.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back, episode number 70. So a nice round number for y'all. I'm kind of laughing at the beginning of this episode, trying to figure out what I'm going to say, because at the end of the day, I think most people have a certain expectation that when they read the description or the title of this episode, which as I'm recording this, I don't know exactly what that's going to be, but I have an idea. You probably think that this is going to go a certain way. And nobody wants to turn this on and hear someone who's a salty Rangers fan after a team that was supposed to be in the fourth year of a rebuild went within a couple wins of the Stanley Cup championship complain or be salty or cry about the refs. But at the same time, it's a fan who's, you don't want to hear him make excuses like, oh, well, he had this opportunity. Look, they could have won this game really easily and they didn't win. They could have won this series. They're up 2-0, up 2-0, all that stuff. So there's a couple different directions. I don't want to be that guy who is crying about it. Also, at the same time, I know that I guess my job on this podcast is to entertain and to try and come up with something to say and come up with some kind of different angle that maybe you won't get somewhere else. And that's what I try and do. I don't try and overcomplicate it. I'm not trying to invent something new. But at the same time, the point, what I try and do here is try and be a little bit different and try and give my own personal perspective. And I've been giving that throughout this process. I think the first time I really did an in-depth Rangers talk on this podcast was about a year ago. And we'll get to that a little bit later, exactly what I talked about and all those things. But I do want to take you through, because I got an interesting perspective and I want to take everyone through that perspective of sports and sports fandom and all that, because I always talk about that on the podcast, how I try and figure it out why this is something that I'm so into or people are so into and people are so emotionally drawn to sports. And the feeling I felt when it was over and it was slowly winding down at the end, and we'll get to the game itself a little bit later, but I was just really sad. I was like, I don't want this to end right now. It's annoying. It's frustrating. And I took a couple days off. I didn't want to record immediately because I didn't want to give a raw reaction, because my first reaction, I was kind of angry. I didn't expect that to be the reaction that I was going to get at, but I was kind of angry. I was like, oh, I was just annoyed. And then over the next couple days, I was kind of just like sulking a little bit over it. And now I've gotten to a point where I can kind of compartmentalize and just actually wrote down some thoughts over the last few days. And now I was able to put them in order. So I did immediately write down a few thoughts for the podcast right when it was over. And then over the last couple days, I continued to write down, a few thoughts. So now we're a couple days removed, a couple nights sleep removed, some shifts in the studio, all that good stuff. And now I can kind of, I talked to a bunch of friends, by the way. So people reaching out, there's two kinds of people who reach out. There's the people who are like, dude, great season, whatever it is, what it is. And then there's people like, yo, it sucks, it's over. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, I really don't want to talk about this. And I want to tell this story because I thought about sharing this a little earlier in the playoff run, but it might be a little personal for him, so I don't want to. But I have a coworker who up on his desk at work, he had a sign. It was a drawing of the Stanley Cup. He's a big Ranger fan, and it was a drawing of the Stanley Cup made by his, I think, I want to say 7 or 8 year old son. Drew a picture of the Stanley Cup. It says to dad, and then it's just a picture of the Stanley Cup, and he had that hanging in his office. And every day, I would come in and I'd just see that, and it was still up. He told me how he watches the games with his son every night, and his son gets to stay up late, and sometimes they'll watch it in the bedroom so that, you know, the kid can stay up or fall asleep while he's watching the playoff run. And he told me how into it he is, and how the emotional connection that him and his son, the bonding experience that this Rangers playoff run has created between the two of them, you know, that they've bonded over this. I get to work, and it's, I guess I get to work Sunday night or Monday morning, and the sign's not there. It's not up. And that it's, that's kind of when it hit me. I knew they lost obviously before that, and it was just another level where I kind of looked at it and I was like, the sign's down. He took down the poster that his kid made for him of the Stanley Cup because the playoff run is over. And it was, that was also a moment that I was just like, yeah, there are so many different levels to it. So him, I texted, obviously. It wasn't one of those texts where I was like, oh, it sucks, but, you know, we're building for the future, blah, 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 and all that stuff. I get it. I get it. Everyone has the talking points. I did realize two things, though. Why I was sad that they lost. I was legitimately sad that they lost. Like, it was an emotional reaction that I wasn't really expecting. And it kind of made me understand maybe why I was positive throughout this process, why some fans who were negative, and I always talked about this also, who some fans, specifically the bandwagon fans who were negative, who would always like text me like, oh, Igor stinks, or oh, this guy stinks, or oh, that guy stinks. And I was always like positive. And when they were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh, I was like, hey, we could still come back. When they had game 6 at the Garden against the Carolina Hurricanes, I was like, we could still win game 6. Even as recently as going into game 6 in Tampa, I was like, hey, all they got to do, win one game in Tampa and then come home for game 7. I was just positive. And so I think those two reasons, why I was positive throughout the process and why I was so down and upset when they lost, kind of relate to each other. They kind of connect to each other. The New York Rangers played 20 playoff games in 39 days. The first two rounds went 7 games and they won both of those series 4-3. And then the last round they lost in 6 games, 4-2, after going up 2-0, obviously. So in those 20 games in 39 days, the Rangers went 10-10 overall. And there were ups and downs throughout that process. Obviously, being down 3-1, the two losses in Pittsburgh, obviously the two losses in specifically games 2 and game 5 in Carolina, were pretty brutal losses, were pretty tough to watch. And so was game 6 and game 4 against Tampa Bay. Pretty tough games to watch, obviously. That said, it was still a stretch of 39 days where I knew no matter what was going on in my life, no matter what was happening outside of this, I was going to sit down for 3 hours and just have something that I genuinely enjoyed more than almost any other form of distraction or entertainment, which is, at the end of the day, that's what sports is. It's a form of distraction and entertainment that we create an emotional bond with. And I was able to sit down for 3 hours, no matter what, and do something that I loved, no matter what was going on, and nothing else mattered for that time. And then in between the games, if they won, I would watch the highlights and, you know, watch the press conferences. If they lost, I would also, I'd watch hype videos for the next game. I'd watch the press conferences that Gallant and Kreider talking about the team and how we're going to come back and don't worry and the mentality. And I knew, I looked forward to the next day that they were going to be playing, and to not have that anymore, it's upsetting. It's something that it has nothing to do with the actual sport itself, with the team itself, with the team losing, or even the future of the team, or hey, we're building something, or any of those positive things that people like to spin. It has nothing to do with that, because I just know that I had something for the last 40 days, it's almost 6 weeks, right, that I was able to just every other night sit down and enjoy and watch, and now it's gone. It's just taken away just like that. And it's abrupt, and it's a tough way for it to end. And that's kind of what Mika Zibanejad said. And I posted this, I added some music to it. I'll take the music out now, but I added some music to this. I posted this on Instagram and on Twitter, and it got a lot of reaction from a lot of people. But yes, it's immediately after the game, and maybe he's a bit dramatic about it, but this is really how I think I felt after the game. Here's Mika.
Like, denying this right now, I don't know. I don't honestly have much to say. I just empty. It's don't want it to be over.
You just feel that abrupt ending, and that he says it, I don't want it to be over. And it was just, you don't. That's the number one thing. And there's two kinds of sad, though. And that's one. The first one is just, you don't want it to be over. And it's kind of weird, because I said this to someone after the game. I was like, even if they won the Stanley Cup, I would be a little bit sad that it was over. Like, even if they went all the way. And it kind of ties in. I have a weird theory about winning a final versus losing a final in any sport. It could be the Super Bowl. It could be the World Series, the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. If my team were to lose the championship, then I kind of think like, okay, at the end of the day, they played till the very end. Now I can compartmentalize, say hockey season is over. They played till the very last day of the hockey season, and I can move on a little bit easier because it's over. Yeah, they lost, but the loss is not what hits me hard because I just want that entertainment. I want that, you know, form of entertainment. Now, there's the other sadness, which is this is a really long season. They got to this point. They got this far. Who knows if they're going to get there again, and they didn't take advantage of the opportunity that they had, and they didn't win. So that's the first kind. But the second kind, which is more kind of what I was talking about, it's just overall at once. And yeah, when you win, you celebrate the championship and the kind of the joy and the you get the parade and all that stuff continues. So that continues on for a little bit. All the enjoyment from this past season in a couple of days, or not in a couple of days, but maybe in a few weeks, I'll be able to look back and actually watch all the highlights, watch all those videos that AJ Castiglia makes and go nuts and enjoy that part of it. So I will have that opportunity at some point. I just don't have that today. If they win the championship, you do have that. But at the same time, we're not getting the every other day for 40 days, them playing and them playing meaningful games in the Garden and Bob O'Reilly and all those things that come with it. You're not getting that anymore. So there's still that sadness, even if they would have won the Stanley Cup, as weird as that sounds. The other thing that I think made this harder, obviously it's abrupt, but I wish they were at home. Like if they lost game seven, I would have probably gone to New York, whether I would have been able to make it into the building or not is a different story. But I would have gone to New York for game seven, which would have been tonight, Tuesday night. And that kind of really stunk that like they just walk off the ice and that's it. Like I kind of wrote on Twitter half joking, can they just open up the Garden for the when they do the exit interviews, which they did yesterday? I would have loved if they had opened up the Garden to the fans. Kind of just let the fans in one last time to give them a standing ovation, because at the end of the day, there were so many fun, magical moments from the beginning of the season that deserve to be applauded, that deserve to be celebrated. And I guess it'll be celebrated on opening night next week, next year, and I'll have to go to that. But that was the other thing. I wish I did have, I had gone to more games, because it was an opportunity that it, maybe next time I'll let it soak in. I try to enjoy it as much as possible, but like I said, it just ended abruptly like that, and that's what kind of sucked. And that doesn't mean they're not going to be back. That doesn't mean they're not going to be good. It just sucks that it ended the way it ended. And actually, John Cooper, the Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, did say that. He said, this team will be back. This team is going to be here. What they did was really impressive. Here's what he had to say.
That Ranger team, Gerard Gallant's going to be sitting here in not too long a future, but it's hard. And when you go seven, you go seven, you go six, that was their 20th playoff game in 40 days. It's hard to play 20 regular season games in 40 days, let alone playoff games. And for them to get as far as they did, I'm amazed by what they did.
That's the part that's interesting, because Gallant will be here, and John Cooper has a reason to say this. He has motive to say that the Rangers will be back here, and specifically Gerard Gallant will be back here, because he's really good friends with Gerard Gallant, and a lot of people questioned a lot of the decisions that Gallant made, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But at the same time, this team will never be back, whether it's personnel, but the team that had the Henrik Lundqvist retirement ceremony this season, the team that had the Ryan Lindgren goal with 0.4 seconds to go in a game, the team that had all this magic, the team that had 52 goals from Chris Kreider, the team that had this energy, every team has its own different energy. Even Ryan Strome missing nets, he's probably not going to be back. Andrew Kopp, Frank Vatrana, we'll see what they decide to do with this roster. But this team, this season, will never happen again. So yeah, Cooper said it, they'll probably be back, and Kreider echoed the same things in his thoughts that this team will be back. But it's still sad, it's still a sting that this specific team will never be back. And even 2 days later, while Kreider kind of said what Cooper said, he also said that it still stings. Here's what Kreider said.
It's funny, like, going on a great run like that, and so many people reach out, tell you, you know, how proud they are of you, of your group. Right now it stings, but it's hard to be proud, you know, a couple days after you get bounced like that. So, but I mean, this thing's important. We were just talking about when Tampa lost the four straight to Columbus. Torts said, you know, we've created a monster. So I think, you know, obviously we felt like we could have gone the distance, but, you know, that sting is what's going to push us over the edge, I think.
So that was in the exit interviews, Chris Kreider. Now, Chris Kreider, they better name him captain this offseason. That is top priority for me, that you have to name that man captain. He cares so much. And yes, he's a little bit dramatic. This is 2 days after the game. I get it. But at the same time, he really does care. And Steph Curry, by the way, said the same thing last year after the Warriors got eliminated in the play-in. He said, this is going to motivate us. We're staring in the face of this right now. It sucks. We're going to use this as motivation. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not saying the Rangers will be back because they're really pissed that they lost this year. But people assume the team is young. The team is only improving. Igor Shesterkin is freaking Igor Shesterkin. Nobody else has him, and he's that good. People assume that this team will be back. But at the same time, it is really sad and upsetting. And Chris Kreider, I could have put his entire interview in here. His post-game from right after they lost, his exit interview. I could have put the entire thing in here because as a Rangers fan, he speaks for every one of the fans. You see how much he cares. This is why he is the captain of the team. He's the face of the franchise, because he actually cares more than anyone else, and maybe more than, you know, he even should. But you love to see it. I you can't complain about that. And that's this whole team. This whole team is, I love this team. I love this fan base, love this team. Chris Kreider, another thing he talked about was Igor Shesterkin, after he would give up a goal and the whole place would start chanting Igor, like, to lift him up. And Igor said himself, like, this city, this team, this crowd, this everyone lifted each other up. This team had a special bond, a special connection. And some of these guys are not going to be back, and that's part of it. And the other aspect of it is every team has its own identity, its own little things that they do. And I talked about it, it's like the 2017 Yankees. The last time I was this devastated, this disappointed about a team losing was the 2017 Yankees, because they were a team that kind of came out of nowhere. The hope was maybe they make the playoffs, but maybe not. And they kind of had like a little bit of hope, and then they go within one win of the World Series and lose to Houston, who was, at the time, we didn't know this, but they were cheating. And they have the Aaron Judge story, his 52 home runs or whatever it was. And every story that happened during that season kind of made that team really special. And even though the teams the following season in 18, you know, losing to the Red Sox, who ultimately won the championship, in 19, losing also in the American League Championship Series, but it just wasn't the same as that initial team. So I hope that this Ranger team doesn't have that same thing, where the Yankee team in 2017 was not as good as their team is today. And now I love this team, but it wasn't as good on paper, at least, as the 2020 team or the 2021 team or the 2019 team or any of those teams. And yet there was an emotional connection, because that team just loved each other and played for each other. And hopefully the Rangers will keep that going. Hopefully they'll keep the same core and they'll have that same love and bond that they had this season. But you don't know that you're going to have it. You just got to wait. That's something that, you know, you never know that you're going to have it until it just either happens or doesn't. And that was a big part of this team, that they always said throughout this process that they didn't lose in the playoffs. They didn't get eliminated early because they wanted to continue playing with each other. They loved playing with each other. And for that to be kind of the model of the team, for that to be the image of the team, is really impressive. It really shows you how amazing this team really is. The game, I mean, it felt like a slow, long, burning death. Game six, it felt like they just lost their legs. They had nothing left in them. Game five is actually interesting, because they actually, I thought, played really well in game five at home at Madison Square Garden. Obviously had some opportunities, Strome with an empty net, Kreider missed a tip, all that stuff. Yeah, we get that. They ultimately lose the game, but they actually played really well in game five. Game six, they had nothing. And then even in a game that they had nothing, they get a power play late, and Vetrano scores that goal. And I lost my mind. I promise you, I was going nuts, because I just assumed the season was over. This team couldn't do anything. And Vetrano scores the goal, and the reaction was crazy. I was screaming and yelling, honestly, like, really, I really was. I was just ecstatic. I was like, I don't even know how they're going to score another goal in this game, but let's just get it to overtime so I have 20 more minutes to let this season marinate for 20 more minutes. Give me 20 more minutes of Rangers hockey, and that's enough. And that's all I wanted. That's how much I wanted this season to just continue. It relates back to everything I talked about. It was just being in that euphoria, being in that fake kind of alternate universe that was just me, the Rangers, the other Rangers fans, the community on Twitter, the Blue Yorker, the Discord group that I'm on with, you know, all my friends that I've made over the course of the last couple of years in the Rangers community. So that whole thing was kind of like, in one moment, I was like, wow, this is going to continue for just a little bit. And before anyone could even celebrate, 20 seconds later, and I saw, like, after the game, I saw the crowd reaction from the Garden, but they didn't even post it because 20 seconds later, obviously, Stamkos gets the goal. And at first, I thought Igor made the save, and I was like, oh my God, he actually made that save. And then obviously, the rebound pops out and bounces off of Stamkos and in. And it all comes crashing down again, and they lose. Obviously, you start to think back to being up 2-0 in the series, being up 2-0 in game three, the Capo decision to scratch him and then not give an explanation. I mean, I don't know. It just, that was mind-boggling to me. You think about Igor and what he did. He's made 158 more saves than any other goaltender in the NHL playoffs so far in the playoffs, and I don't think that record will be broken in the final. It can be with how many shots on goal Colorado puts on and how good Vasilevskiy is. But that's insane. That also means that he faced 158 more shots than anyone else, most likely, in the playoffs, which is also a problem for the Rangers. But you think about all these things, and Igor was actually better. But we've seen this before. This is kind of the story with all the Henrik teams. You can't win with Henrik alone. The other team, the rest of the team, kind of had to step up. And you were kind of waiting for that unsung hero to step up. I thought maybe it was going to be Vetrano in that moment, and it wasn't, and that sucked. There's a lot of decisions to make. Like I said, I want them to keep Vetrano. I thought he added a shoot-first mentality to this team that was really important. I don't think he'll be that expensive. I think it'll be hard to keep Strome. I think it'll be hard to keep Kopp also. I think they need to get a second-line center or a guy who could be a hybrid second, third line, depending on what they try and do with Hedl. Maybe they put the kid line back together. Maybe they put Hedl up with Kreider and Zibanejad. We saw that work at times. So there are decisions to be made, and there's stuff to do going forward. But it's over. It sucks. But that's really the extent of it. The one thing I did want to talk about is Tampa Bay. I mean, when you talk about rivalries for New York sports franchises and New York City as a whole, it's Tampa. It's not Boston anymore. First of all, Boston, they're better than us. They win all the time. I mean, as much as it sucks to say it, as a Yankee fan, as a Jet fan, Boston's just better at this point. The second thing is Boston, you respect them. They have a fan base. They're hardcore fans. They really care. They're kind of like us in a way that New York likes to consider themselves classier fans. But at the same time, Boston fans, they're dirty. They're grimy. They scream. They yell. They get really into it. When you think about Tampa, I don't even think there's 25 Tampa fans at all. Like, no one cares about the teams down there. It's just a bunch of, it's a retirement community, essentially, a retirement home with a bunch of imported people who are not from there. And these teams are like new age teams. Who knows what's going on in Tampa? And you have the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been the biggest thorn in the side for the Yankees the last bunch of years, right? They're the ones who have eliminated the Yankees out of the playoffs the last couple of years. They're the ones who, no matter who they put on the field, they put these loser, no-name guys on the field, and they're always incredible. You think about Tom Brady, who hates the Jets. No, you can't convince me that he doesn't hate the Jets. He purposely let the Jets get a lead so that he could come back on them. He's like, Antonio Brown, you do your shenanigans, run off the field shirtless. I don't care. I'm going to come back against the Jets. That man, I hate him more than I hate the Patriots. The Patriots mean nothing to me. The Patriots, yeah, now they have Belichick. They have Mac Jones. Who cares? Like, the guy I hate is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the guy who, if you're a New York Jets fan, is the face of those championships and all the Jets' misery throughout those years is Tom Brady. And now he's also in Tampa winning championships. He went down there so he could win a championship. He retired and then unretired so he could win more championships. And we'll see how that goes for him. But he is the face of our misery if you're a New York Jets fan. And now the Tampa Bay Lightning. I talked about how this would be the revenge tour for the Rangers, but they get your former captains, as always. Ryan McDonagh wins two Stanley Cups with them. They beat the Rangers in seven games the last time the Rangers were in the conference finals, and then they beat them again in the conference finals this year. I hate Tampa. They're a fake city, fake sports franchises, just fake, and they keep winning, and they keep beating the New York team. So if you're a New York sports fan, and you're trying to think, oh, who's our biggest rival? It's Tampa in all sports, all across the board. So I did want to talk about that. I wanted to point that out to anyone who might not know that. As far as the Rangers. So a year ago, and I said I'd talk about this at the beginning, a year ago I was on this podcast and I went through, I don't understand, they're tearing it down after we're in the middle of a rebuild, we've built it up, we've gotten so close, and what, because of Tom Wilson, because of the Caps, we're going to tear it down, replace the head coach, which I wanted to do, but replace the general manager with Chris Drury. All the things that the Rangers did, we're trading pieces away in Pavel Buchnevich. We need to get tougher. We can't have as much skill. It needs to be more of a physical game. All those things. We need championship pedigree. We need Barclay Goodrow, and we're giving him an alternate captain, even though he's done nothing to prove it. All those things. I was wrong. They were right. And the fact that a year later, I'm sitting here crying that they didn't go to the Stanley Cup championship, that they lost in the conference finals, that just shows you how right they were and how far they've come. So for all the fans who want to get on me and people on Twitter, I have a new Twitter troll, by the way. If you haven't seen my Twitter account, there's someone, it might be someone who's listening right now who's trolling me. It's hilarious. I think it's really funny. I'm having a good time with it. So if you are listening, please keep doing it. You created like 4 accounts in one day. They follow basically me and a couple other celebrities, and that's it. I'm not a celebrity. The other people they follow are celebrities. I wasn't saying me and some other additional celebrities. I was saying me and then, comma, some celebrities. But and they've been trolling me about the Rangers and stuff, saying I'm a bandwagon fan and whatnot. But you could go back a year ago and listen to my podcast from a year ago and listen to me talking about them tearing it down. Or you could go search my Twitter from, I don't know, 10 years ago, with pictures and videos that I take at games and stuff, and how much I cared then also. But I don't need to prove myself. Obviously, I don't feel the need to prove myself, although it just sounded like I probably did. But at the same time, like, how far they've come in the last year, how far this team has come from the Rangers of a year ago and tearing it down and feeling like the whole rebuild came to a screeching halt. And now how it was catapulted to this point where it is almost disappointing that they didn't go to the Stanley Cup final. And I talked about this with someone today, Ed Norris, who hosts the morning show here in Baltimore, is a big New York Rangers fan. And I was saying, look, I understand that at some point I kept thinking, I didn't think they were going to go to the Stanley Cup final, right? If you told me at the beginning of the playoffs or even at any point during the playoffs, yeah, this team is actually going to go to the final, I wouldn't have, I would have been like, I don't expect it. But at the same time, throughout the process, I just felt like it was never going to end. It just felt like in it, when once you're in it, it feels like, why should they lose? Why should this end now? So maybe going into it, you're like, yeah, I don't think they're going to go to the cup final. But then they got so close. They were right there, right? 2-0 lead and 2-0 in game 3. So all that is upsetting. It hurts. But I hope this kind of explains what I felt about it and why I felt the way I felt. I think for me, it does. And this is kind of therapeutic. Now I could go back, watch highlights, and move on, really, because at the end of the day, it is just sports. It is just a team. It was really fun. It was amazing while it lasted. Everything comes to an end, and hopefully they'll be back next year, and I'll take advantage of the opportunity that I'm given to go to games and enjoy this team, because I really enjoy this team. The 2022 Rangers will always be one of my favorite sports franchises of all time, and I'm just happy I got to enjoy the ride while it lasted. I did want to make one NBA's finals point. I've only gone for like not that long, 27 minutes right now. So I do want to make one finals point because I haven't gone for that long and I could make one point. It'll be really quick. And I guess this will be a shorter episode anyway. But the Warriors did win game 5, a pivotal game 5. Does it mean Boston can't come back in the series? No, Boston can still come back in the series. I thought Jason Tatum was insane at times and so was Jaylen Brown at times. So I thought the Celtics, they could totally come back in the series. They could win at home for sure in game 6 and then come back and win game 7. So I'm not counting them out yet, although I do think obviously the Warriors and the statistics back this up, especially when you have a team with the championship pedigree that the Warriors have. When you go up 3-2 in a series after the series was tied 2-2, you have a really good chance at winning that series. But one thing that I did see, and I saw Skip Bayless, and I don't want to talk about Skip because he's an idiot. Like, I don't want to talk about Skip on this podcast necessarily, but he was saying, that's the greatest player of all, that's the greatest shooter of all time, that's a top 10 player of all time, Steph Curry, we're still going to give him all these accolades, is he going to have Andrew Wiggins steal the finals MVP away from underneath him again, just like he had Iguodala do to him in 2015, Steph Curry's not even going to win the blah blah blah. Oh my god, because he was what, 0-for-9, and what was this, the first time in 300 games that he hadn't hit a 3 in a game? It needs to stop with the Steph Curry narrative, the Steph Curry haters. It's incredible that they even still exist, but the fact that they were able to win a game with him going 0-for-9 from 3, yes, it says a lot about the team. It says a lot about what everyone else on this team was able to do. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say there's no offense on this team besides for Steph Curry. He's the entire offense on this team. And then come back and say, oh, well, look, they won a game without him, with him going 0-9. He was terrible. Steph Curry, what's different between him and every other superstar in basketball ever is that when he's on the court, whether he's hitting shots or not, you have to. Did you see the Celtics giving him wide open looks at the end of the game? Did you see them not running around trying to trap him and chase him and totally preoccupied with trying to stop one guy because he was 0-8 or 0-7? No, they kept having to double team him. They kept jumping on him, trying to deny him the ball. Their entire defense was running around following Steph Curry as he swarmed around the court. And guess what? That's why other guys were able to get wide open lanes to the basket. That's why Andrew Wiggins was able to make plays. That's why whoever it was, Jordan Poole was able to make plays. Klay Thompson was able to get open threes because they were so worried and so preoccupied about Steph Curry. Forget about the fact that he started going to the rim and making layups that he wouldn't have made in the past because he's worked on his game. Forget about the passes that he made out of double teams. Just the simple fact of him running around on the floor and doing what he always does, which is constantly circling, constantly running, constantly back cutting, constantly setting screens, and having the Celtics defense just running around trying to chase him, not let what happened to them in game four happen again. That is what won the game for the Warriors. So it's not that they won despite Curry. It's not that they won even though, yeah, Curry had a terrible game, but they won. It's everything that Steph Curry does besides for score, which is the reason why they won. So is it amazing that they won considering he was 0-9 from three? Yeah, it's a testament to the team. And yes, it was an opportunity for Boston, and Boston blew an opportunity. All that is true. But at the same time, Steph Curry is a huge, huge part of the reason why they won the game. It's not that they won the game and it happened to be Steph Curry was there and it's amazing that they won without him. He is the reason they won the game, amongst others. But yes, he is the biggest reason why they continue to win. And if they win the championship, it'll be because of Steph Curry. And I think people, the difference between this year and 2015 is people understand that finally. In 2015, the Cavs were so preoccupied with stopping Steph that he was okay with letting everyone else do the work and get the points and get all that stuff because he was doing the same stuff. Now, how I think the way the league understands how Steph plays and the value that he brings, I still think he'll win the finals MVP if they go on to win the finals, because people actually understand and appreciate what Steph does on a basketball court every night. So I did want to make that point, because you're watching greatness, and I hate when people try and deny the greatness that they're watching by pointing out stupid things that don't exist. So got a little angry there, but it's about Steph Curry. See, I moved on from the Rangers pretty quickly. Either way, I'll finish this podcast the way I have ended the last few episodes, and then we'll be done with it. I still love this team. Let's go, Rangers. I can't wait for October. See you next time.
You were the best nights of my life. You got the light that always shines. I miss the way that you move and the way I get high when you take me to your heights, like I'm standing in the sky. I see your subway cars and your old graffiti. I breathe your air when I land in another city. I'll be that one that's got you printed on my bones. Yeah, you're all I know. Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I ain't changed it all. Oh, oh, always on my road, I'm still New York. Drive down Riverside, see the birds flying on the High Line. With the sidewalks burning, we pray for rain in July. I want the Yankees 99, yeah, and the Knicks on a sold out night. When the curtains close and the Broadway streets are alive, hey. I need your heartbeat close, don't you ever leave me. And I breathe your air when I land in another city. And I'll be that one that's got you printed on my bones. Yeah, you're all I know.
I was scared. sin. I used to hit them courts out in Prospect. Take them long walks on my time spin. Just a kid with that empire state of mindset. Kick flipping off a blind deck. Dipping from the New York City's finest. Yeah, said I've been up on my New York shit. Walking down the block with my New York bitch. I can never leave my city, ain't nothing like it. Even if I do though, I can never hide it. Top down on the west side when I'm driving. East side be the only side that I'm riding. And I'm still New York.
I ain't changed at all. I'm still New York.